Hey, you guys. Sergeant B-Safe here.
Let's take a quick trip down memory lane. You remember that one time Captain Chaos and I met Super Crime Buster? That was a fun day. Or the time we helped the Johnson family against that computer hacker. Yoga? Nah, not for me. Next. Or that time in court with Judge Mint. ADA Justin Case went up against Scott Free, Robbie Blind, Treacherous Tony, and of course Chance Wilder. Treacherous Tony conducting illegal activity at a basketball court. The summer months when we have to educate kids about dirt bikes and four-wheelers on the roadway. Robbie Blind attempting a burglary. Yep, he got caught. Frequent flyers Robbie Blind and Chance Wilder, they get caught often. Remember the time Captain Chaos and I visited Miss Gaynor's classroom? Yeah, I think he's got a crush on her. Then there was cuffing season with the smoke detector, no gas, and the free coffee. Or this poor guy who had to go up against Nasty Nina and her attorney, Wacky Tacky. Or how about the time Robbie Blind and Treacherous Tony got into that traffic accident while drinking and driving? They really thought they were gonna run away. These and many more adventures can be seen on our YouTube page and also during the podcast Black and Blue. Don't forget to watch us and subscribe, and that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
Hey, officer, your keys are in the door.
I follow you on TikTok. I've already seen this. By the way, you don't have your seatbelt on, sir. If you'll pull right up there for me.
Oh, you. Oh, no. Please don't walk over here. Please don't. Oh, okay. Hi. How can I help you?
Welcome to Black and Blue, the podcast that brings you the untold stories behind the badge. Every week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we dive deep into the lives of our unsung heroes, the first responders and law enforcement officers who put their lives on the line to protect us all. So join us as we humanize the badge. We shed light on the incredible individuals who wear it proudly. From rookies just starting out on their journey to seasoned vets with years of experience, even retirees who continue to make a difference in their communities. Come with us and discover the trainings that mold us. The unforgettable experiences that make us. And the publications that inspire us to push forward. So buckle up and get ready to embark on a thrilling journey through the lives of those who protect and serve. This is the Heartbeat, Black and Blue. Black and Blue, where the stories behind the badge are true.
Good evening again. We are back. This is Coach Cleed. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to prepare you and introduce you back to Black and Blue. This is the podcast that's just for you, where we humanize the badge. We go live weekly at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And when we go live with a special guest that's either a first responder or in law enforcement, whether they're a rookie, seasoned, or retiree. And then we discuss their training, their experiences, and their publications. And we're not going to fall short today. We went live last week. We had the two panel. It was a tremendous show. And we're going to follow up with it again today. We got Jeff Dawkins back here. I'll introduce him in a minute, but I got to put some things out there. All right. Make sure you guys hit that like button. Make sure you guys tag, like, share, and subscribe. This is live and interactive. So we're streaming on 5 different platforms right now. We're on 2 on Facebook, even though if you're on the Black and Blue page on Facebook, something's wrong with it. It's not working. Facebook is doing their own thing. I can't control that. But we are up on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. We're on 2 pages on YouTube as well, either under Coach Clee, Clark Tent, Clee Tillman, or Black and Blue, a variation of all those names, or the coldest. You know, we've got so many different names. And Clee, I was told, C-L-E-E stands for Continuing Law Enforcement Edutainment, because we have fun on this platform as well. Like I said, this is live and interactive. So if you're looking for the shout out, you got to put your name and where you're from in the comment section. I'll give you the shout out that you're looking for. I can't see who's on here because we're on so many different platforms. And there's been a problem with LinkedIn too. I can see some comments and some comments don't show up at all. So if I don't read your comment or acknowledge you, I'm not ignoring you. It's just not showing up on the platform. We're also on, if you have a question, understand that there's about a 5 to 10 second delay. So by the time that you post it and the time that we see it, we'll acknowledge it. We may be on to another topic, but we'll get to it as soon as we can. We got somebody in here right now. Good evening. Seti P is in here. Always on time. I appreciate you. Good evening to you, sir. Thank you for tuning in. We got a special guest, Jeff Dawkins, in here. We're going to be talking, following up again, talking about leadership, wellness, self-care, so many different wonderful topics that are needed to be brought to the forefront in this first responder and law enforcement community. All right. You guys saw the website, workwithclee.com. It's not scrolling below. Let me get that banner ready right there. If you want to be a guest on the show, that's where you want to go ahead. Go ahead and check out the website. Go there. If you're looking to do voiceovers for the Sergeant Be Safe cartoon that aired at the beginning of this and throughout this podcast, that's where you want to go as well. And this platform itself is sponsored by One Way Publishing. One Way Publishing is the book publishing company where I got to write my 5 books. There's behind me, and also ebooks. There's 2 ebooks that came out recently that I did, and their clients just wrote 2 books this past December, I believe it is. See if I can get these pictures up here for you guys to peruse quick. We got Shayla and Sophia Thompson. They got their first children's book out. That's available on Amazon. Got Kay Childs. She was able to get her book out, a book of poetry. The ebook, Sergeant Be Safe and Captain Chaos, and Sergeant Be Safe and the Phone Scammers. Make sure you guys check those out there on Amazon as well. If you ever had One Way Publishing, this book publishing company, where they talk about if you have a mere thought, they could turn it into a book that's bought, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, autobiography, cookbook, whatever, a children's book, whatever it may be, they can get it done. So check that out. All right. I appreciate all you guys that are in here. We're going to have a lot of fun. I am waking up about 2 hours ago from working night shift. I'm not saying I'm sluggish. I'm just excited to jump in here because, you know, you guys, I like to bring you the updated and fresh versions of myself and the guests that we're going to have. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce them. And most of you saw the thumbnail banner, and it's going to tie right in. It'll make sense momentarily. He's known as the Eagle of Justice. And we were talking about that when we were on the phone a few days ago. I believe it was Friday. Or Thursday or Friday, we were on the phone for a decent amount of time, and we had a great conversation. He's known as the Eagle of Justice. He's also a sergeant with a police department here. He's an instructor. He's a servant leader. He's got over 25 years of service in law enforcement. One thing that resonated with me is he's a protester, negotiator. We can talk about that. We can talk about courage, nobility. We're following up again on leader. And leader, one of the definitions I found about leaders in leadership is one person who's in charge, who convinces others to follow, inspires confidence in others, moves them to action, and is the head person running the show. And that's we're going to talk more and more about leadership on this podcast, because leadership is for all of us, whether you're at the top, whether you're at the bottom, because it deals with self-development and self-actualization. And once you know who you are and how you function and striving to get better, you make others better around you. But I'm gonna share the spotlight here. I'm gonna stop talking. I'm gonna bring him to the stage and get these banners ready. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here's Jeff Dawkins. Jeff, are you there? I think your mic is muted right now.
Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. Loud and clear right
Bring
now.
Bring it. Bring the eagle right here, baby. Let's go.
Eagle of justice. I told you it would make sense in a minute, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So how did you get that name as the Eagle of Justice? How did that become your moniker?
Oh, man, it's hilarious. I remember back in the day, probably 2016 or so, I was a field training sergeant. I was helping run. That's funny. I was helping run the field training program as the admin. And so I was out on the street with my guys. And my whole thing is if people are under stress and under tension, we got to try to get rid of the tension and get right to the character. Mm-hmm. That way we can get people loosened up. And if they're loose and they're having fun, then the bad guys, they just keep running their mouth, right? Mm-hmm. And then they end up just confessing and doing the things that we want them to do and no one has to get hurt. So that was my overall goal. So I remember I actually had it recorded and then one of my officers sent it to me and said, boss, you got to keep this. You're the eagle. And we had arrested somebody for shoplifting. And this guy, this cat was just stonewalling, just like mean mugging mm-hmm. the whole time, like this thing. And it was a shoplift. Like, I didn't, it was $100, I think, at Dollar Tree or something, which was half the store at the time, you know. But and so my officer's sitting there, and he can't get him to crack. The OIT can't get him to crack. And I walk over, and I listened to the recording the other day, and I said, this is what we do. I'm the Eagle of Justice, flapping my wings. And they, like, everybody stopped. And my officer bent over and started laughing. The bad guy lost it. And then I said, hey, man, why'd you do what you did? He's like, oh, man, that was awesome. And he totally confessed. And so, you know, I don't know, man. I just started adopting that as my eagle cry. And I, you know, I leave the nest of freedom and I deliver justice on the highway of crime. There you go. So it just was the thing, man. And when I teach in colleges and at the academies, and I teach crim law and stuff, I will wear this to chop mm-hmm. it up with the recruits because they're so nervous that they're not embracing the material we're trying to teach.
Yeah.
And that's not the goal. So that's where the eagle was born, man. And he's been flying free ever since.
I like it. That may, and you might end up being a character on a Sergeant Be Safe cartoon.
You need to do it. I'll do a voiceover too, because I do voices, but we'll talk another day. Yeah, let's go.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. We're talking that's about right, chickens, man. Not eagles. Got that's a comment right. out here. Austin Rhodes, thank you, C. Rhodes, for tuning in. That's why I'm cold, because I learned to be cold from you. Yeah, you thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. One of the guys, yeah. You go as the Eagle of Justice. I go as the coldest. So, But Jeff, tell us a little bit about yourself. When did you first get that burning desire to actually want to be a first responder and get into law enforcement? Do you remember, was it like childhood or college years or high school or anything like that?
Well, you know, I have a pretty cool story. Everybody has a cool story for themselves, but mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, the way it was told to me, my mom and dad were telling me years ago, and we were visiting this because my dad, he just passed.
Uh-oh, wait, hold on, Jeff, start over. I think your mic muted again.
We're gonna have to play games with that all the time, but if you catch that, let me know, and we'll keep on that deal.
Yep, we're good to go.
So mom and dad, they were telling me that when I was three in my little superhero underoos, the chips, the real chips, not the new one.
Yeah, yeah.
But real chips, you know, with they showed the badge and the gun and the bike. And I was standing there doing like the little kid bounce, you know. And my parents are, he's going to be a cop.
Uh-oh, I don't know what's going there. Yeah, it's going in and out with pausing. I mean, with the mute.
I'll keep working on it. We'll keep hopefully making that work here. And if it doesn't work, I'll just blow up the computer and we'll go from there. But I'll keep it up. We'll try working.
All right.
So I knew I wanted to serve people ever since I can remember. And that mm-hmm. was been a constant. And service was it's always like that's something my dad always preached, is that, you know what, you just got to give your life away in service to people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he worked 43 years before he had a heart attack, and then retired. But I wanted to be a servant like him, and that's where I knew. And then law enforcement came around. I wasn't looking for law enforcement. You know, I feel like Axel Foley. I had fractured an occasional law or two. Right? But God put me into service, man. And when God puts you somewhere, you can run from it like Jonah did, but he's going to put you into
the belly of the beast.
you're going to be caught up, man. And either you can deal with it or you can do something different, you know? And so that's what I was.
Yeah. Like Jonah in the belly of the whale and get turned around and be brought back to it. And I like the 80s analogies, man. I remember watching Ponch and John as a little kid as well, watching Chips and the do, 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 the song itself. I'm like, I'm going to get a motorcycle myself. Then Axel Foley with Beverly Hills Cop. I think they're coming out with a, what is it, number 4 or 5? I forget their reason. They're coming out with a new one relatively soon. So we'll see how 60-year-old Axel Foley does in the world of 2024. But that's a whole nother conversation.
So that's how it started.
Gotcha. And working in law enforcement for 25 years, I'm pretty sure you've had amazing experiences, amazing ups, a lot of highs and lows. And I know you've come in at a culture when you first started where you didn't talk about mental health, you didn't talk about wellness or anything like that. And therefore, I'm pretty sure we go through extreme highs and extreme lows. And when we go through those lows, sometimes those dark days, just what they're fueled with sleeping, non-sleeping, depression, abuse of alcohol, or so many. I'm trying to cover the gambit of everything. When you've had those dark days, could you share some of those experiences with us and what some of the experiences that got you through those dark days?
Yeah, well, that's a whole, I guess we could spend the rest of the year talking about that stuff, right? I mean, 25 years, I started as an adult probation officer in the gang unit.
Right.
And I was working Southside, and I wasn't well received in that culture, let's put it that way. but when I didn't have gray in my goatee, you know, I was still the eagle. The eagle hadn't yet been hatched, but he was there, baby, I tell you what. After 9/11, I knew I had to do something different. And so I dropped about 600 pounds and decided I'd become a police officer and wanted to serve in a different capacity. And so I did that. And I remember back in 05, my first kid was born.
Mm-hmm.
He's about 6 months old. And I respond to a 6-month-old drowning.
Mm.
And so any of my cops out there, you know, anytime you deal with any kid death, it's bad, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When they come running out and hand you a blue baby who's 6 months old, right? I can't even tell you back. And he was right here. I can't even put my hands. He was right there still. And I still feel the skin, but he was blue. Now, fortunately, fire was right there and they grabbed the kid and they never pronounced on scene. So they took the kid.
Right.
But I called my boss and I said, yo, man, I need a minute. I need to go see my kid. So I took the old Crown Vic with the bubble lights, right? And I rip back to my house and they tell you never wake a sleeping baby. So my wife is just so happy the kid's sleeping. And I come bursting in like I'm in a search warrant. I do all my thing and I wake him up and he gets all in a tizzy and I go back to work because I just thought that's what you had to do, right?
Mm-hmm. But
I kind of stayed home because that messed me up.
I didn't
know it at the time. So I kept compensating. I had been in fighting things since like 02 and teaching in that world. Mm-hmm. And so I just figured if I was super violent, then bad guys would fear me. The good guys on my team, they would respect me because the opposite happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so part of that development, that was one such experience to lead into trauma. But I would say the first chapter of that, I was unsuccessful. So violence turned out to be not the answer, right? And after 6 excessive force complaints in 6 weeks,
all of them were
exonerated, but internal affairs was like, bro, you got an issue, man. yeah, the dudes did what you said and you housed them, but you know, what's going on? And I didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But you know who wanted to listen? The three wise men, Jim, Jack, and Jose.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was telling my troubles to a bottle and I got deep. And so I wasn't really, I mean, at the time I was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ in 2005 in April.
Okay.
I got into leadership at the church in 2013. Okay. I'm an elder in my church now, but I stopped. I'm a recovering alcoholic as of January 27th, 2017.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Amen. You know, but that was the thing. Like you just cope that way. I couldn't, everybody's got the dreams, right? One of the two dreams, mm-hmm. You can pull the trigger and it doesn't fire or you keep shooting old boy and he doesn't drop.
Yeah.
And so I was homicide. I would all these different things in my career. But ultimately what ended up happening is, and some of the things you talk about is self-awareness. And being in the moment, mm-hmm. and not running too far ahead of where the Lord wants me, but just being present and taking things for what it's worth. And so that trauma path, Clee, right, that starts in the beginning. Like most cops, they don't even realize it. We weren't talking about it in 01.
Right.
No one's talking about that. They're talking about getting some terrorists, man.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, baby.
Yeah.
You're going to get it. But the problem is that men and women in law enforcement, we were sold a lie. Mm. We were sold a lie in that if you work hard and if you always keep it on the positive, then no matter what, people will love you, mm-hmm. and everything will be good in the end. And it's a fairy tale, but we all know that's not true. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, but they didn't tell us back then how to deal with those days that were dark.
Yeah.
That were like, how do you deal with, why am I not talking to my wife? I know Kevin Gilmartin, and his book was huge for me, Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement.
Oh, wow.
Reading that and just looking around my house, telling my wife, I think there's cameras in my house, woman. Cause how does he know what's going on?
Yeah.
Because he's
writing my story, but yeah,
he's writing my story, man.
Yep.
And all these guys that, like I said, you had Scott Medlin in one of your clips and Tom mm-hmm. Tsai and Michael mm-hmm. Laidler is a friend of mine. We had lunch when he was out and these are men that have been through some serious stuff. Mm-hmm. Travis Yates, mm-hmm. they can talk about the things that I'm going off on. And I get super passionate about this because you know what happens when you share with, like, if me and you are in the locker room and I'm like, hey man, that call messed me up. Everybody would stop and look at you. And you get the hard sideways glance, like, you're not okay. I don't want you near me.
Yeah.
I don't want to catch what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's what causes problems. And you want to talk about some real stuff? I teach on how to prevent officer suicide. And like, you had a guy with a gun that puts a gun to his head. What are you going to do about that? We're trained with everybody else, but then we go home with the gun every night.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some real stuff here that we need to really get into. We need to be men.
Yeah.
And men own it. Men will get in front of it and say, the thing that causes me the most pain is what I want to share with you, because maybe you got something that'll help me. That's what men do.
Yeah.
And women, if you're watching right now.
So. You know what that reminds me of? It's very, you hear in our culture in law enforcement and first responder, the culture is, you know, while we're on, if we got to go take a door, I got your back. If we got to go check a warehouse or building, high profile, low profile, no matter what, if it happens while we're working, we all, you know, hey, I got your back. I got your six. We're good to go. If they jump out, we're going to nail this guy together and blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. And we're all good. Hey, how you doing? Good. I'm great. We got the bad guy. Let's do the paperwork. Cool. High five. Everything's good to go. Then after, you know, the adrenaline wears off and you're able to start processing things. And now that we know more about how the brain works and how we as first responders process things, we know that some can process it immediately or have immediate reaction to it. Others, it may take a day or two. It may take a few months
or years.
Yeah. And then once that's over with, we go back to those same guys and like, hey, you remember that burglary we responded to, we set up a perimeter. I've been having dreams about that. Oh man, take care of work together, but take care of your personal life alone. You know, that you don't bring your personal life here to work. If you're having dreams, take some melatonin and sleep harder. You know, let's get together, have a few beers. Beers knock me out, or a few drinks. Beer, a liquor knocks me out. You'll sleep longer. You'll forget about it. Time heals all wounds. Mm-hmm. And we hear those same phrases and monikers over and over again, and we learn that that's not the case. That actually leaves a scar on us that doesn't heal, and that scar becomes a gaping wound until it finally festers out and consumes us. And like you said, suicide is one of the highest killers for law enforcement and first responders, and education and communication is a way to combat that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree, but I will tell you too that other things that come up when you betray your oath, like there's a guy I just recently connected with, mm-hmm. Dick Odom,
mm-hmm.
Thin Blue Connect, good man, and has a tough story, but the end of the story is not yet written, and he and I talk weekly.
Okay.
And I tell you, that's the kind of stuff you betray your oath by little things. You know, are you going to train the dude to step on the crack pipe because you know county attorney's not charging that, or are you going to log that because if you don't, it's destruction evidence. Well, it's okay. Everybody does it. No, they don't have to do it. Are you going to be the dude that decides that you don't want to shave? Or you, like, I made a joke with some rookie the other day. I said, hey, man, I think your washing machine's broken because your white t-shirt looks all gray. It's crazy. And he got all scared, like, the eagle's talking to me. And his FTO said, I got it, man. I go, okay, cool. I just want to make sure because I got some extra soap. And I'm like, come here, rookie. He's like, no, I got it, boss. There we go. But little things, like, I want to make sure that we have, and so people don't think I'm crazy, that I'm just trying to teach people that if you're willing to compromise on something like that, mm-hmm. then you're willing to compromise on some dope dealer's wallet, or you're willing to compromise on making a second trip for another unintended interview with a female witness. Like,
yeah,
there are compromises that you make that you gave up the right to make compromise when you became a police officer, period. Mm-hmm. You swore an oath to the Constitution of the United States mm-hmm. and the laws of whatever state you serve in under God. So bring it. If you want to have that conversation, that's a whole nother podcast. Again, we just keep doing these every week about betraying your oath. And
we're scheduled out till May now.
Yeah. So that's the genesis of courageous nobility for me. That's mm-hmm. what got me really kicking off of that. It's, you know, the idea that courageous nobility being knowing who you are in any time, place and season, standing up under political pressure, under the threat of promotional advancement, or the threat of even losing your job, holding true to the integrity that God built you with. That's courageous, man. And I dig it. I want to be around people like that, like you and others, man. It's cool.
Thank you. Thank you. I like that. I like the actual courageous nobility. It means a lot. And going with the oath. And that, I know we talked a couple of days ago, it goes along with self-development and self-actualization. And that's an individual, like we talked about, from top to bottom. With courageous nobility, how do you harp on leadership for the individual or for a collective group? What's the importance of it?
Well, have you ever, so you're a coach, right? You play football,
mm-hmm.
right? You ever talk to a room full of more than five people?
Yes.
50?
Yes.
500?
I have not. I'm still trying to climb up to the eagle, baby.
So if you join me in the eagle's nest, man, we'll introduce you to a bunch of this world. But if I talk to you, there's a good chance that, like I always tell them, that people are more important than the things that we ask of them or the tasks that we ask them to perform. People. It's about relationships. And relationships are best met one-on-one. That's it worked for our Lord. I don't see why we need to change it. And so as you move away from individual one-on-one stuff, mm-hmm. your influence dilutes a little bit. And so you have to start thinking, how do I then train up mid-level people to bring your message? But as you know, just like the game of telephone, the message is only pure from the speaker to the listener.
Yeah.
Somebody brings in their bias, their filter, and even unintended into that mm-hmm. world. And so you want to be courageous. It means you got to do something about it. You have to take action. So when people come in to talk to me, I move away from my computer. I take out my 18 phones that they give supervisors to have. And I make a show of putting them aside. And I move away from my computer and I look at them and I give them my attention mm-hmm. because if they need something from me, I want to convey they're important. And so right away, I have something that I put up my wall. Validation is simply showing up and listening to someone and letting them know you care. That's validation. And people don't, I mean, you know better than me probably that the real issue is never the real issue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so you want to be courageous. You need to. So I got story after story after story and conference after conference where I've talked the same message mm-hmm. where I can walk into a situation with this former Hell's Angel enforcer just got out of the joint for 6 years and I met him on a professional context, mm-hmm. right? The man just got done benching a house and was, cooking up 15 or 16 eggs to eat for that snack. And I come walking in, old skinny eagle, right? And he and I right away, I knew I was, this is going to hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, you hungry? And at the point, I hadn't really developed whether or not we were going to be in a situation. So
I go,
I'm hungry, man. So we sat down like we were in heat just at that table. And me and this guy, we were chopping it up for a half hour laughing. And he's like, hey, Sarge, I appreciate you. Why don't you come by next week? And I left forgetting why I'd even been there. And so I had to go back like, hey, man, can you mind signing this card? And okay. So that transferred on. That one-on-one, I kept going back. So mm-hmm. after 2 years of me going back and going back and going back, this guy who's the enforcer in the area, everybody knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up giving his life to Christ. I baptize him. My kids call him uncle.
Wow.
He went on his first ride along in the front seat on permission from the commander. And he organized a neighborhood block watch party in one of the toughest areas in our city. And we had fire department, SWAT, PD, the library, and a bunch of these old boys, you know, with as my friend would say, if you have face tattoos, you're a convict. They come rolling in. They're hugging me like, hey, we had never seen people talk like you before. And this guy is telling him, he's like, you don't understand. The man behind the badge is who we need to look for. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. So that's courageous, right? I don't get that message if I give it to 100 people.
Right.
They can they can read my Substack. But you want to talk one-on-one? Then I got to work like Santa's little elves the day before Christmas to get into your world. And you got to be willing to do the work too. Would you agree? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. 100%. And that's an amazing story because you would see two guys relatively from opposite sides of the fence, in theory, from the public view, and coming together where you guys are supposed to be at odds and not coming down, sitting down and breaking bread together, and then breaking bread and developing a kinship and a friendship from it. And once a friendship develops, commingling these two worlds to bring out even more positivity for all involved. That's a great thing. That's a great thing.
It is. And you know what? Just in case people don't think that I'm all about hug a thug and, oh, it's kind of like rainbows and unicorns. It's not. Mm-hmm. From 2002 to 2007, people tried to disarm me 9 times on the job. So, you know, it's not, you guys all know, if you're listening right now and you don't, if you're not an exposure to law enforcement, that's real. That stuff happens. And but you know what, if I were to define myself by the failures in other people's lives, then I stretch beyond my little tiny area of influence and I move into the huge area of concern for the rest of the world. Mm. That's tragic.
Yeah.
Define myself by the hearts of the people. If you reach one, you know, our chief says right now, he says, I'll give you 10 hours of pay to go play back.
Oh, I think your mic went. Yep. You got it.
So I was saying that the chief wants to pay us to go play basketball with kids in the park because they're going to bring their families and show that apart from the eagle being able to hit from deep, deep, deep in the seats every time consistently, then I'll bring their kids and the kids will bring their parents and they start seeing us differently. And yeah, maybe the kid gives me, hey, you want to check that house over there? Or I look at him and I tell him, I go, hey, Ralphie, what are you doing, man? And he tells me, he's like, I got dope in my pocket. I'm sorry. And you go, okay, well, stop doing that. You know, no hope with dope. You need to pass on grass.
Give them those slogans out there.
But that's the thing. But it doesn't matter if you don't have relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. That's a part of community service and community engagement. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're going to pause for the calls for a Sergeant Be Safe cartoon commercial, and we're going to jump right back into it. I'm going to give you a heads up on the next question I'm going to ask is the conversation that we had over the phone where you said you work with a certain department. You don't work for this department. When you go out on traffic stops, you introduce yourself and before your rank, title, or who you are, you show them that you're human and you humanize that interaction. I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back. But before we do, we got Sergeant Be Safe. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, stand by. We'll be right back.
Your Honor, we have undeniable evidence that Chance Wilder attempted to hack into multiple bank accounts and steal money. We request the maximum penalty.
That's right, Your Honor. Chance Wilder is a menace to society, and we must put an end to his hacking shenanigans.
Objection, Your Honor. My client is innocent until proven guilty. We believe there's been a misunderstanding. Chance Wilder is a misunderstood genius, not a criminal.
Order in the court. Let's hear the defense's case.
Your Honor, I present to you Chance Wilder's latest creation, the Hacker Helper 3000. This incredible software was designed to protect innocent people from cyber threats. Chance's intentions were pure.
Objection, Your Honor. This is just a ploy to distract us from the real issues at hand.
Indeed, Your Honor. We even have evidence of Chance Wilder's hacking attempts. He's gone so far to have left a digital signature saying, catch me if you can.
Chance Wilder, I've heard both sides of the story. Hacking is illegal. Since you like to take wild chances, I sentence you to community service, where you use your skills for good, helping organizations protect themselves from cyber threats.
Oh man, no money? and community service.
Shut up and take the deal.
Well, there's another good job done by our district attorney, just in case.
It was a team effort.
And there you go, folks. Justice was brought to Chance Wilder, but I'm pretty sure he'll be up to his shenanigans again. So tune in, and that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Thank you guys for tuning back in. Ben Gaynor, if you're still there, shout out to you. Thank you for tuning in. Want to get that out there. We're back here on the show. We got Jeff Dawkins, the Eagle of Justice. We're having a tremendous conversation. I kind of set the stage for the next question. So I gave him a ground ball right here. So it's real easy. And it's not trying to set him up, but in a bad way, but just to give him a heads up, because the conversation that we had a few days ago while we were over the phone really resonated with me. And I truly appreciated, Jeff, the conversation that we had. Mm. And a lot of things stood out. And that was one of the things where you said during a traffic stop or an interaction with someone with the public, whether it's negative or positive, you introduce who you are first before you introduce your title and give them the professional spiel. You say, hello, I'm Jeff Dawkins. I'm with this department, and I'm here today because of this incident, and this is how we're going to get through it. Can you elaborate on that for me a little bit, please?
Yeah, I can tell you that all the greats in media cop history, from Joe Friday to, you know, Dirty Harry to, you know, the old Sergeant Hill Street Blues, right? Starts mm-hmm. off with, I'm officer, whatever, I'm sergeant, whomever, and license, registration, proof, insurance.
Yeah.
And all you've ever done, like, you don't even get to the point where people know you're even there because they don't see past your badge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're cool with that, if your agency wants you to be like that, if you want to be Mr. Robot, then you do it. Mm-hmm. But my guys, I purposed early on to tell people my name because that's what God gave me, and my parents named me. And I think my name's pretty cool. And I tell them, even so as a sergeant, I tell people, hey, my name's Jeff Dawkins. I work with my department. I pulled you over for going 59 and a 40. That's really fast. Why are we doing that here today? You guys all right? And right away,
yeah,
it's amazing. People don't, they de-escalate. Because I'm not up here. I hate when people look down on me or judge me for my mm-hmm. my job. You may think I'm down here, but you better be, because you know who I am. And I'm going to mm-hmm. give you a front row seat to the Eagles' life here, baby. You're going to get that because you know who I am. I'll tell you about my family. These people, I write down my phone number for these guys, these cats that are mm-hmm. in jail, and people think, oh no, they don't work for the NSA, bro. And if you feel like you need to come visit me, you want to write a criminal search warrant and get to my home? Well, you know, I got a lot of guns too, bro. We can talk about that area as well. But we humanize things person mm-hmm. to person. I'm always telling people that the most important person is the next face in front of you. Yeah. I don't care if it's the old boy we're arresting, if it's the soccer mom that's going fast, bringing her 18 kids over to school, or if you're having to tune up one of your officers in the woodshed, or if you're having to be courageous and lead up to your boss, which I've had to do.
Mm-hmm.
It still starts with in front of anybody else in those situations, hey, LT, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But in private, I address him by his name. Hey, so-and-so, you and I both know, since we both came up together, this is not right, and we're not doing this, and my name is on it, and my name means something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changed the dynamic. When I was younger, I would tell, because I've been a sergeant for 11 years, my first year, you know, because you're going to change the world when you're a sergeant, brand new.
Yeah.
you're a new boot sergeant, man, and everybody can do what I say, and do you see these stripes, dog? You know who I am? Come on, right? And I was getting people, they were just going, we can't stomach this guy. We're not going to have it. I don't know. But I would make people, I said, and the one thing I was serious about when I would calm down a little bit, mm-hmm. I would tell them, if you introduce yourself as officer, mm-hmm. I will correct you in front of other people and make you tell them your name. It got so bad where I had guys that were willing to, they were stitching their names on their shirts, you know, would say their first initial, last, they were putting their full name, like, Dawkins is crazy, man. If I forget, I don't want the eagle to go, yeah,
right? Eagle over my shoulder, move back, man, I got it.
Yeah, the talons, baby, you don't want the talons of freedom to come at you. But it was really cool, and it's been great, because right away, I take a really, like you said, really down low, kind of, aw shucks. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I did this. I'm not, there's a difference between respect and tolerance, though, right? Yeah. So yep. I show you tons of respect. I don't tolerate your criminal speed when people can get hurt. Yeah, I'm going to write you a ticket, but I've had more people thank me than yell at me. Mm-hmm. And if they want to yell at me, at least they're very clear about why they're yelling at me. Most times they're mad at themselves, like most people. Yep. But I can get through all that garbage by the hoity-toityness of, well, you're just a cop. You're just a lot of talk and a badge. With, no, my name's Jeff. That's one J, one E, and two Fs, bro. You know, it's like, if you look at my last name, I tell people there's only one S at the end of it. So let's keep it professional, guy. And then, and it just humanizes things. It and does. Then we can chop it up whatever we want.
I like that. I tell people, and then I'm like, yeah, what's your name again? I'm like, yeah, it's Tillman with one L. Make sure you spell it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we always got something.
So with Courageous Nobility and talking about leadership, how do you think that cultivates with agencies here across the nation? If anyone would implement leadership within a platoon, within a unit, within a team, within a department, however the agency breaks down, what are some of the positives that we can take away from, especially in this current climate of law enforcement and first responders throughout the nation?
Again, now you're booked through June, because we're not going to stop talking about this stuff.
I know.
I'm not a pioneer of any of this stuff. I just stand on shoulders of men and women that have gone way farther than I had. I give a shout out to, like, Travis Yates, right? Mm-hmm. Roland Klee is another guy who writes a great Substack. Mm-hmm. I look at Paula Fitzsimmons in Wisconsin with For the Blue. Mm. Yourself, you know, being able to be up front with people. Dick Odom, Michael Laidler, and the list goes on and on and on. There's a man that I work with that he is now he's a guy trained as a sergeant, and he's running as a lieutenant with another agency. He's running the academies, and that's Patrick Valenzuela Jr. And him and his dad, senior, is in my agency, and I love it. And these are men that I see as leaders.
Yeah.
Right. And what to answer your question specifically, here's the rub, is that men and women are afraid to do things that they know can cost them personal or professional gain. In my opinion, this is just Jeff talking, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you unhinge yourself from that and you recognize that, see, I know who I am. So Courageous Nobility starts with an identity issue, your self-awareness. Mm-hmm. You know who you are. I know the why statement. I have a mission statement I wrote for my life that talks about my focus on my faith and how I'm going to serve people. And it's still relevant as when I wrote it 10 years ago, and it's posted in my house so that everybody holds me accountable to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know who I am, and I know whose I am. And because of that, I don't fear what's going on around here. If God's going to move me over here, then he does. And he has my whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Good times and bad, he's taught me about me and let me be of service. And so I can speak truth, looking to serve other people, because it's not about you. It's about other people.
Right.
And I think that's what's missing. Courageous nobility. You want to be noble. Most of the time, it's eggshelled around pride. Nobility comes at a titled cost. Well, you know who I am? I'm a commander. I'm an assistant chief. Nah, bro, your name's Jim. And I helped you and your wife 2 days ago put in some stuff in your garden, bro. So, like, simmer. Just simmer, Jim. You know, and it's just, you just look and go, what happened to these same people that when we were all 10 years old, you'd pick that dude because he seemed to be the best at the job?
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted that dude because he's the fastest playing Red Rover. That dude could shoot from deep, so I want him on my team. It didn't matter. Race, color, creed, religion, age, it didn't matter. Guy, girl, whoever was best was put in position to do the most good. And we've lost that. We need to go back to that. We need to go back to saying, I'm not going to, and I'll cut it straight right here on the podcast. DEI stuff, you know, when you want to talk about DEI, didn't earn it. DEI, baby, that's what didn't earn it, okay? And you want to get rid of Heather MacDonald with the Manhattan Institute. She just wrote an article about the disparate logic behind racial inequity and meritocracy going away, about how you can't look at somebody anymore for their works. have to look at you based on a set of standards to make our department look better or to make my job look better.
You want
to be courageous? You want to be courageous? Let's go find the guy selling dope to kids and let's take him off the board. Let's go help the people that are in their eighth time of domestic violence statistically. And let's help this woman be empowered to get rid of this guy. Let's help families, instead of spending 10 minutes to solve problems that took 10 years to develop.
Yeah.
Why don't we change a little bit as cops and go, hey, my name's Jeff. And I know what it's like because my dad just died of cancer and I'm a recovering alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what else to do right now except to sit with you and hold your hand. Why don't we have conversations like that and not worry about your buddy, you know, yucking it up at you in the corner because, oh, look at him. He's so weird. When they in their heart know that they have all this stuff they need to get out, but they don't know how or who to bring it to. Mm-hmm. That's courageous, bro. And that will change an entire world. And I'm not kidding. Travis and I talk about this. With Courageous Leadership, the Courageous Leadership Institute, and with Jeremy Wade, Mission First Alliance, man, you got to get with these guys. These guys are moving the needle where we all want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's important. So there's my 10-minute answer for the next couple years.
Yeah, hey, you summed that up pretty good. Instead of taking up June like we have slated, but all, but sir, that is a great answer. And those are great highlight points. On leadership and owning it in the moment as well, and being out there on the field. And again, we all got into this profession to be of service. We know it's the ticket to the best show on the front row seat of the best show on earth. And we got into it excited. You know, I don't care how much they pay us. I'm going to do the best I can. And then, you know, we kind of slowly simmer. But we all got into it for whatever our why was. And our why was still boils down to being of service. And then being of service to ourselves as well within our community, the law enforcement community, like, yeah, like you said, you put yourself out there. You're vulnerable. You like, you know what? I know what it's like for a family member to pass. You know what? I know what it's like to have a bad day and want to go have a drink for whatever reason. I know exactly what that's like. I cannot speak in this moment because I don't know what the right thing to say is. And I don't want to just blow smoke up your ass either, just saying some of the wrong stuff. So therefore, all I can do, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to rub your back. I got your shoulder. Right now, it's just me and you. We got this. We can sit here. We don't even have to talk about anything, but I just want to know that we're in this thing together.
Serving and protecting means more than just putting bracelets on people, and it certainly means more than having people press hard because there's four copies. Serving and protecting, if we're going to be servant leaders, it means that we better be masters of followership. Every first year cop should be able to teach a master class on interpersonal communication.
Yeah,
because we learn how to read tone and voices and body language, and we learn how to get into the hard stuff because it's the heart stuff. But they don't teach the first year dude that the 10 year dude got. They don't teach you what to do with the heart stuff once you have it. When I hold someone's hand and I hold their heart right in my hands, it's a precious time. When someone opens up and you get that moment where they open up to you, what do you do with it? And that's courageous, man. That's serving and protecting at a level that this community hasn't seen. I got story after story after story. Guys, girls, black, white, they leave. They start with the perception. Within 30 minutes, they leave and they're hugging me, crying, saying, I never met anybody like you. And I go, well, that's because you haven't been speeding around me a lot, but I can do that. We can fix that, right? But men and women are waiting as cops. They don't even know they want to say stuff like this, but we all do. If we just lived our interview, to your point. Let's live out our interview, man. Let's make the 5-year guy the 10-year, 15, 20, 25 years. Let's live our interview. Let's show people that there not only is a different way, but this is the different way. That's the way we started, man.
Yeah.
That's when Sir Robert Peel, right, his Peeling principles, gets the Dolby's going, right? I mean, it's the same stuff, man. Police are the community. Community are the police. And so how do you make your community better? And if you're not in it to win it for that, get out. That's what the song says, right?
Yep. Good point. We can talk about this all day long. I'm enjoying it, and you're hitting highlights that are highly needed. But one thing I do want to ask you is, and I may even have the title wrong, how did you get into protest negotiations? I know there's been a lot of controversy in law enforcement through the past years, leading up to about 2020. 2020, I think we hit the pinnacle, at least for this time frame, on things that could go wrong. And then we had the protests and riots, and it was just a very heightened. It was a very bad year for all the way around.
It was tough. It was a dumpster fire.
So how did you get into that and then go to other agencies to help simmer down or help promote peaceful, positive awareness and having wonderful outcomes on both the public and law enforcement?
Well, it didn't always start off looking to be peaceful. It started back in 2006. My agency realized we were going to host a mega event. And they realized we probably should get ahead of this and get somebody who's talking to people. So, you know, the special ops people were doing their whole thing, talking to other people that had hosted the same event. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you need to have a team of people, the meet and greets, so that your field force people who are the hats and bats, they understand who they're going after. Right.
Right.
So I was a grenadier in that thing. And I, like I said, I was about, how do I get that 37 millimeter and I'm putting smoke in people. Or we got the pepper ball guns and the paintball stuff. And I was marking like we're at the WHO conference in Seattle, right? I feel like I'm Knight Rider with the hood on just hitting. But so I thought I was going to be that guy, right? But then they look at me and they go, dude, Dawkus sounds a lot like Tawkus. So why don't you just go ahead and you need to be talking to people and chopping it up with these guys. Doesn't matter who they are. I can talk to them. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that. I started in 2006 on a team of six people. We just would go in contact. We'd go and, you know, we'd drive our other cities and listen to the people speak a month in advance. And we do the advance work, right? We do the scout work and the relational stuff. And we'd help them get to where they need to be in our venues. And so it was always really good. And we started to get noticed for that. Mm-hmm. So that it actually started off, it was called the Civil Disobedience Unit. That's how it started. So around 2014, right after Ferguson, I had been on the team ever since. And I got promoted in 2013. I petitioned, the sergeant left, and I asked if I could run the unit. Mm-hmm. So in 2014, the first thing I did is I changed it from civil disobedient to community engagement.
Okay.
Because, man, as you know, words matter.
Yeah, it does.
And what we choose to say and how we choose to say these words, it has to matter. Mm-hmm. And so we championed community engagement. So it gave us the bandwidth to deal with mega events, Planned Parenthood, Project Pink, Somos Americanos. We would deal with immigration issues. We would deal with all kinds of stuff because we would just engage the community. Mm-hmm. And I work with, as the sergeant, I'm sitting there just putting pieces on the board. My negotiators, my protester negotiators, and we would just tell you, like, you just dudes, Jeff and some guys going out there hanging out. they're the ones doing the work, and they were amazing at their job. Once I got them to realize that we're not taking ground on a football field, right? I'm not trying to get you back 5 yards so that you can get in this free speech zone. I'm trying to figure out, our big thing, I'll tell you right now, one of the highlights for that assignment, because I worked these three super mega events as in that role. Mm-hmm. And we got commendations from the protesters and the counter protesters of those groups.
Wow.
By the way, the department. Yeah. And you don't see that.
No, you don't.
Westboro Baptist sending us a praise note. Now, I don't know that I was framing that, but I mean, it just spoke to the character of my officers and detectives that recognized that their mission needed to be right here. Like and people know my views. I'm real open about my views, what I believe and who I believe in. Mm-hmm. But I tell them that and I say, but as a police officer, we're going to be here. The law says this. The city code says this. So if you step outside, you're going to have some problems. Now, we interacted with a neighboring city that was a lot bigger. And so I would, you know, I had a bunch of my friends over there would give me hints and tips. And so we started gaining friendships and trust.
Right.
Trust is built on character and competency. And so when these guys came out and saw my team working the way they're like, man, you guys are really effective. Come help us out. And so 2020 blows up. And people start lighting the dumpster fires all over the world, right? That kind of thing.
Yep.
And so I'm listening on TAC channels to the neighboring agency, like full on riots. I mean, their city is burning to the ground and they're calling us and we're out there helping, trying to stay involved, but just trying to stay back a little bit because it's kind of their thing.
Yeah.
And my city didn't have one disruption. We didn't have one reportable event.
Wow, that's
for
good.
A major city. Well, yeah, and what does it speak to? It speaks to groundwork of engaging the community, where the community recognized that, yeah, you step out of line, my department, we're going to stop you like a narc at a biker rally, okay? But, you know, but if it doesn't have to be that way, then we'll have a piece of apple pie and talk about freedom in America, baby. We can do that too.
That analogy just got me stuck.
There you go. Stop. And I stole that. I'm sure a comedian, I may have had that from years ago. I think it was Dennis Miller said, you're going to stomp like a narc at a biker rally. So it's not mine, but that's funny. But that's the thing. When the community trusts the fact that, hey, they may not like the fact of being held accountable. Few people do. My kids don't like it. I don't like it. But you know what? They got to respect it. They got to respect it because a land without laws. We are the only place in the world, if you look around, Klee, that is policed by civilians, essentially civilians.
Yeah,
military, right. You know, being a veteran, you know, you go around the world. I've had a chance to train in different countries with a lot of the defensive tactics and things like that. And their military comes in and you step out of line. They just shoot you and move on, bro.
Yeah.
There are ditches on the side of the road because that's where the bodies go. And people don't understand without a civil code, without adherence to respect to law, which I love, which I've devoted my life to, without that, man, we are going to be overrun, and it's whoever has the biggest stick.
Yep.
Boom. Absolutely.
Great. Yep. Mic drop on that.
Boom.
I'm loving it. Stand by, ladies and gentlemen. Again, Certain Be Safe's got a few words. We're going to come right back. All right. Get your questions ready. We'll be right back.
Hello, Sergeant Be Safe, Captain Chaos. I'm your new district attorney, Justin Case.
Hello, Justin Case. Nice to meet you.
Yes, it's a pleasure. I'm glad we're all on the same team.
Yes, locking up bad guys. Let's go inside the courthouse and see the judge. We have bad guys to put away.
You are absolutely right. Let's go inside and get to work.
All rise. I am the Honorable Judge Mint.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Attorneys, present your closing arguments.
I'm a defense attorney, Scott Free. And my guys didn't do it.
The proof has been laid out, Judge. Sergeant Be Safe and Captain Chaos caught these guys red-handed.
What you mean, red-handed?
Order in the court!
I find these three guilty on all counts.
Ooh.
Well, I'm out of here.
I'm innocent. I didn't sell crap.
What do you mean, guilty? I don't hack.
Good work.
Yes, job well done, team. I just want to say good job to our brand new district attorney, Justin Case. And from me and Captain Chaos, that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Thank you guys for staying engaged and tuned in to Black and Blue. We've got special guest Jeff Talkus. And like he said earlier, Jeff Dawkus, it rhymes with Talkus. And he's the Eagle of Justice here, baby. And we're having a great conversation. And through that, I know you said earlier in the conversation that you have a business plan or a business plan for your life, for your career, and that you're in it for the long haul. You know your why, you're serving, you're here doing it. We got a lot of departments and agencies and a lot of fellow first responders throughout the nation here and throughout the world that, of course, you know, done the quiet quitting or doing the bouncing from department to department right. for the sign-on bonuses or just retiring. They're getting out the door quickly. They're fed up. They're burnt out. They don't have it anymore. What would you say to anyone that got into this, that knew their why, that actually was looking forward to being in as a first responder, and somewhere along the way they lost sight of what they got into it for. It simmered down, and now they're looking to get out. What would you say to those that may need to reignite their passion for being a first responder, if at all possible?
Well, I'll tell you, if people want to reignite their passion, then that is a whole different thing than, like you said, the quiet quitting. That's the people that have made the decision in their mind that no matter what, Tuesday at 5, I'm done.
Yeah.
And you know, it's tragic to me. It's like an injury that goes on undiagnosed for years that finally ends up taking someone out. Whereas if you just got involved a little bit earlier, maybe that would have helped and you could have stopped something going bad, right?
Right.
But I would tell you this, if you want to reignite your passion, this is not this. You're never going to hear me say, come here, sweetie, let me hold your hand and give you a tissue. All right. But I'll walk with you. But here's the thing. It requires you. So action is more than words. And so here's the first step. Here's the first step I would tell anybody that's looking for to reignite their why and figure out how to live their interview. One, write down all the things that got you into the job. Write it down. Because when you write something down, man, it does something to the chemistry of your brain. And we talk through that. That's going to be July's podcast episodes about the physiology of positive thinking, the transformative benefits of all that. Write that down. And then you look at that and try to figure out how many of those things am I currently doing? If you want to reignite your passion, you take that. And I would spend some serious time. The 7 Habits of Law Enforcement was key for me when I went through that Franklin Covey product years ago. Mm-hmm. I wrote a mission statement. That's how I got developing my mission statement. And a mission statement is not a goal. You right. achieve goals. Mission statement is a path and direction, high level for your life that is going to be specific enough for you, but broad enough that you can build into it and still never goes out of style. Kind of like this shirt, right? So I want to build a mission statement first. That's first thing, right? So you identify what's going on that got you excited and then build a mission statement based off where you want to go. Second. Right. And the process of doing all that, you're surrounding yourself. You are actively looking for mentors ahead of you, not behind you. The right. cool dude that benches everything and is a SWAT guy because he's got 14 minutes on is not the dude I need to be going to get mentoring from.
Right.
All right. So you find a mentor or mentors, maybe one or two, and you have to do the work. You have to go to them and say your hat in the hand and go, excuse me, sir, may I have another? and get into their world, get into their orbit. Mm-hmm. And so from a supervisor standpoint, so you have that first thing is identify what got you going and set a mission. The second thing would be to develop a plan and surround that plan with mentors. Mm-hmm. Now, for my guys, it blew the mind of my department when I said, hey, what are we doing for career development for our guys? And they looked at me like, there's tests coming up. They can take them. I go, no, you're missing it. So as a leader, and I did this for myself too, I said, where are you going to be at the first year? Where are you going to be at the third year? Where are you going to be at the fifth year?
Right.
And if we did our job right, we'll do that whole thing 4 times. And I'm telling you, I helped walk through the first year with just introducing themselves to command staff and getting hour-long meetings so that selfishly the first time they got a discipline thing, they would know, oh, it's Klee. Well, Klee could never do that. We'd see Klee's heart because Klee and I talked last week.
Right.
And relationships are key. And then they start picking up tips. These rookie guys, these 1-year, 2-year guys. That's the first year. And then I'd say, where do you want to be in 5 years? Well, I want to be Kane. I want to be SWAT. I want to be FTO. All right. So the 3 years are that bridge work. How do we get there?
How do you get there?
What trainings, what certifications, what skills do we need to do? What classes? And then I would work hard at this is where that emotional bank account comes in. You have to build into that early so you can draw from it. So when I call the assistant chief and I said, I know you're going to be looking at approving a class and here's the money. And you're not going to want to do it for these guys, but here's why you need to. And he would say on the finger, come here and go, okay, because you're asking, I know you wouldn't ask if you didn't believe because you're a man of honor and character.
Right.
And so we're going to do this. And I'm going to say, this is how you build into people. And so you want to reignite that passion. You got to remember your legacy. Remember you and I talked about that? I don't know where my legacy is going to be like. People don't measure their legacy. It's the next generation that measures the effectiveness of your legacy. But I would challenge people first again, right? If we're going to take those notes, that first step is identify your why, identify what got you going. Second thing is write that mission statement surrounded by mentors and run it through with them.
Yeah.
You may think you're great. I'm going to be a great canine, but it turns out you're not a good canine. You hate dogs. You're allergic to them. Well, that ain't going to work for you, bro. You'd be a great detective though. and have people that know you build into you and mold you a little bit, mm-hmm. because that's leadership and followership, a give and take. And that third part is that legacy impact, that setting the metric by which you're going to measure success. There's always, from the old Sarah model, right? We have to assess whether or not what we did was effective.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this. So let's assess it. Let's figure out, did any of this work? Did it matter? And then I would challenge people, the metrics you use to determine success will change the course of your life. As I get close to the camera, listen to me.
Yeah.
Because I can't look at title. I can't look at money. I can't look at how many shiny things are on my Class A uniform. Mm-hmm. I measure victory in the amount of lives changed,
mm-hmm.
for the courageous nobility of our job, for the character development, and for mm-hmm. the absence of crime. Thank you very much. The absence of crime doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. It means we did everything.
Right? Exactly.
That's the metric, right? We should be looking at the right metrics and then be willing to champion that and champion your people no matter what it takes. Because you want to learn something, you want to figure something out. They say, go be a teacher. You'll become the best learner.
Yep.
And that's the back end. Those three steps. Sergeant B. Say could put those three steps in action right now.
Ooh, he might do that with the eagle. You better beware.
The eagle's on the, and the eagle's telling tips to the bad guys. Change your life. Here are the three ways. So that's what I would submit to you, Clee. Identify your areas that got you to live your interview to begin with. You hear me. I didn't say, let's figure out why you're drinking too much. Let's figure out mm-hmm. why you're cheating on your spouse. Let's figure out mm-hmm. why whatever. We're not going there. Those are symptoms. Yeah. Those are symptoms. And those are yabuts, and they live in the forest with Bigfoot. I don't need yabuts, bro. I need to get to the heart of the issue. And so we identify what got us there. We set a plan and a mission to drive us forward. And then we put a plan in place, 1, 3, and 5, to measure the effectiveness later on down the road. And all of a sudden, you look back 5 years down the road, I have people that use this plan. Two of them are FBI agents. One of them is a Secret Service agent now, because those are things they wanted, but thought, I'm just a dumb city cop. I can't do that.
Right.
And I said, I don't accept that. It's like my kids, they end up saying, I got one kid, he's a cadet. He wants to be a police officer. He said, Dad, do people know that you are the Jeff Dawkins? I go, who is that? I don't know, but you're him. You know? So wouldn't it be great if people, you do walk on this out in the public and they go, that's the Clee Tillman. Do you know that guy? And people that hate you line up to tell each other the first time they met you later in life.
Yeah.
That's change, bro. That's serious. That gets me fired up here, man. I love that.
I can see the goosebumps right there on your forearm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's real.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Your legacy, what do you want to be remembered for or as? That's a personal one. Yeah.
You finally got me to stop talking. People are going to go, dude, that dude talks. But you finally got me.
That's good, though. Because you've been dropping all these pearls and gems that we had to go a little deeper. Because honestly, I'm learning by listening to you. And I know others who are still on here, they're learning as well. And they're enjoying the conversation because you're throwing them the jokes, but you're bringing reality with it. So then, therefore, you kind of want to see, what you talk about, what makes you tick, you talk about what motivates you. Talk about your why, but what do you want your legacy? What do you want to be remembered as?
You know, something I've learned to stand by, especially about 4 years ago, my wife and I sat our kids down and we said, hey, we should just probably tell you, your mom and I, we made a commitment that we're going to be a family of service. So my kids were like, okay, can I play PlayStation now? You know, but I was trying to translate that, and we were very, very serious about that. Mm-hmm. So we drive 20-year-old vehicles, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till it's Monday because that's half price day at Savers, you know. So my metrics shifted. You know, when I realized who I served, when I realized that there are people that we arrest that maybe are just two choices, Clee, two choices away from where I am. Mm-hmm. Two.
Yeah.
They're not bad people. They've never had some of the things that you and I had. They never had someone standing in the gap for them. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, what does my legacy look like? My legacy looks like this, how I would measure success. Yeah, big thumbs up, Garth. Big values the legacy. Exactly. Let's live it out. So my legacy statement ends up looking like, do people, they might not remember my name. Mm-hmm. They may not remember what I said, but they'll remember how I made them feel. And they'll remember the course of action that they're on in life. Go, you know, this crazy old dude, I remember talking to him. And when he was talking about being a homicide detective, it was this. And we talked about being a bank robbery guy, is this. And when he was field training, it was this. But ultimately, what it got down to is, and I pride myself on this, like, I know my officers' spouses' names.
Yeah.
And I know what position their kid plays in soccer. Are you willing to be there? Because here's what kills me, man. I keep my phone on 24/7, and that's a throwback to the detective days.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to anymore. I'm off at 3, baby. And you want to come find me at 3, you better have a search warrant. Okay? But I keep it on because I told somebody years ago, hey, if you need something, call me.
Yeah.
And guess what? Somebody did at midnight, and I look at the phone thinking I'm getting up at 3.
Yeah.
And I got up, and I had an hour-long phone call with this guy. Mm-hmm. Who later on said, you don't even understand. I was ready to drink myself to death. And it shook me. It yeah. shook me. Yeah. And you don't, if you're listening now, guys and gals, do not be the person. That's funny. Do not be the person that is going to say, oh yeah, you can call me day or night. And then at 8 o'clock
yeah.
to 8:15 is really when you're available. And otherwise you swipe the other way. That makes you a jerk, not yeah. a servant.
Yeah.
If yeah. you're going to say it, do it.
You got to live by it. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
And that's legacy, because legacy is going to be, did I help people in their life move the needle closer to an understanding of who created them to be who they are, mm-hmm. and why the greatest show on earth needs a ringleader every call for service. And you're it. Batter up, baby. That's what I'm about.
Man, accountability. Oh. Dick Odom's in here. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yes. Listen.
And that's why I keep asking questions, because you keep dropping gems. I appreciate it. Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you in here. And we discussed so many different things on this podcast, on this platform right here. And through the course of conversation, I may have forgot to ask a question, or I may have jogged your memory on anything that something that you wanted to discuss but didn't have the opportunity to. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us right now? The floor is yours.
Well, I appreciate that. First of all, I'll tell you, I get full screen now.
Yeah, whoa, yeah, guys. Zoomed in.
Now I'm Batman, Dick. There we are. Okay, so I will tell you that the things you're doing, and I just want to encourage people, because right now, when I first started writing that was published in these magazines by people, and they were looking at stuff going, who is this cat? It doesn't matter who I am. If the message I'm talking about today resonates with you in some way, I would encourage you to reach out to me. I can be reached at CourageousNobility@ProtonMail.com. That's ProntonMail.com. CourageousNobility@ProtonMail.com. We can start a dialogue. You can see the stuff I've written, and I have like 6 podcast episodes of Trust the Truth with Jeff Dawkus. But bam, that's on jeffdawkus.substack.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you subscribe for free. And I would say get involved. And so if the floor is mine and I get anything to say, and this is my 25-cent elevator speech to the chief, here's what I would say. Nobody that I met right away is going to say the value of being a police officer is that I preserve democracy in a constitutional republic and I uphold liberty. No one says that. They're about I protect, I serve, I this. But that is what you do. And Plato wrote in the Republic that without the guardians, the whole democracy crumbles. The cobblers and masons may fail to do their job, is what he writes.
Yeah.
And there has been, I mean, giants of literature and people that are way smarter than me and that all these letters in front and behind their names. But we're all saying the same thing. We're all saying the same thing, is that if you have a message and you want to make it real, then first of all, be a man or woman of integrity, of courageous nobility that's willing to live out that example. If my life is going to be a guide to somebody, then I better make sure that the skeletons in my closet have all been addressed, or that everybody knows about them, so that there's no foothold to make me look sour. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be disingenuous. I want to be transparent. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you right now, if you can do that, if you're listening now and you're wondering, as an officer, a sergeant, a lieutenant, I got commanders that are talking to me about this stuff saying, yeah, but you know what it's like for me. Really? Jim? We'll use that, right? Really, Jim? Yeah. Because we were barbecuing at your house last week and you're telling me about your third mortgage kind of thing. So mm-hmm. why don't we just have a second and realize that the people that we're called to serve and protect are not that different from us.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see who we are, then we can be who God made us to be in the job. And you can fly free with the eagle, free of charge, at the greatest show on earth. Jump on in.
Man. How can you beat that, man? That mic drop on that. Yeah, listen, that's the way to end the show, isn't it? That's I like hanging with the eagle, baby.
Yeah, that's it. And you know what? We can do this as many times as you want, as long as I can serve people in some way. Travis and I, we laugh about this. That guy's, he's one of my mentors, one of my heroes in this whole chasing down construct. But at some point, people stop knocking, and we are a generation away from forgetting the liberty and the freedom that you and I are sitting here chopping it up about. And we'll laugh and stuff, but you go on the job and I go on the job, and we may have to be called to take someone's life. Mm-hmm. We may be called to save someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
And how many generations are we away from when people don't care and say, well, the military's got it. It's somebody else's problem. It's not mine. I mean, we're one generation. And that's the kind of stuff that should be driving us. Like I said, and I'll leave people with this, you have lost the right. You have lost the right to turn in a compromising integrity on the job. You've lost the right to be physically unfit. You've lost the right to not have an open heart. Don't dress up realism as being just tough and thick skinned. Don't dress up being sarcastic as being like quick witted. You're hurting. If you're hurting, get some help. We wouldn't do it anywhere else. I blew my knee. I blew my shoulder. I got spine stuff going on. I wouldn't got help. People fixed me because I needed someone other than myself. If you could fix you, you would already done it. So stop lying, Michael Laidler would say. Get the people in front of you that want to help you, that know more than you, and be willing to say, the eagle needs some help, baby. Clean those feathers. And then you fly high. That's how you make it work. That's how me and you can be brothers all across the country in a moment. Because you call on me, I'm answering the phone, Clee.
Gotcha. Flying the friendly skies, baby. Absolutely. Enjoying it. Enjoying every moment. Yeah. The devil's in the details, ladies and gentlemen. And you said it so profoundly. I'm not even going to attempt to piggyback on any of that. Make sure you guys tag, like, share, subscribe. If you have any other questions, make sure you guys check out the websites that he put out there. Check out and reach out to him via the
Substack.
Yes, thank you. The Substack.
Yeah, jeffdawkins.substack.com. Yeah.
Thank you. See, he even read my mind. He knew what I was trying to get out. Even better.
Brother from another mother right here. That's the bald eagle right in front of me right there. That's who that is.
Money dance on that, ladies and gentlemen. You guys saw it. But we had a great time today We had a great time today on Black and Blue. Black and Blue is a podcast that's just for you, where we humanize the badge. We talk about individuals who are law enforcement or first responders, their trainings, their experiences, or their publications, whether they're rookie, seasoned, or retiree. So make sure you guys tune in. We go live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time weekly. And yes, I know last week it was, Thursday, I believe it was. Today we're Monday. Next week it'll be a different day. Sorry, schedule fluctuates. You just got to go with the flow. And we don't have a locked-in schedule, but we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. I got a special guest coming next week. I'd love to tell you who they are, but I'm not going to, because I got to leave you with a clip. Cliffhanger. Make sure you guys come back. Absolutely. So make sure you get those likes up, tag, like, share, subscribe, get this message out. We're going to continue to do so. Thank you, Shaylee. We had a great live. Absolutely. Had a great guest. I was totally engaged the entire time, and I hope you guys were too. I think I hit all the points right there. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, make sure you guys take care of each other. Take care of your communities. Take care of your families so we can go ahead and live our best lives together. And we're going to continue moving this needle forward. All right. 10-4, over and out. See you guys.
What up, Jackson? Let's get these bikes and join up with the crew.
All right, I want to try some stunts.
Cool. I got the camera. I'll record you as you zig and zag through traffic.
Okay, I'm ready to go whenever you are.
Hey fellas, I hope you don't plan on riding those dirt bikes on the street. That's illegal activity. You guys don't have the proper gear to ride. The bikes also need inspected, insurance, and registration.
Oh, I didn't know we needed all that.
You guys don't have a driver's license either. Sorry, fellas.
Everyone else does it.
Bad decision.
So, is there a place where we can go ride them legally?
That's a great question. Yes, there are. In some states, there's designated areas like tracks or dirt roads where you can ride them. Riding them on the public road is not acceptable, especially when there is careless disregard for other people and traffic and property. You can get hurt or you can injure someone else just for being a thrill seeker. Not only that, it's illegal, and you could face a ton of fines.
Thanks for letting us know. We weren't trying to get in any trouble.
I'm just glad we were able to help before things got bad.
Remember, fellas, this summer's going to be hot, so let's make it an enjoyable one. And let's not get in any trouble thrill-seeking while riding these dirt bikes and quad runners. Captain Chaos and I are here to help, and that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
Simple if the problem was bad cops. It ain't.